What is up, football fans? Teddy the Bear Tate coming to you live just a little under a minute before we go live on the air with Vince Pompali. If you guys don't know who Vince Pompali is, I highly recommend you go check out the movie Invincible and then come watch this. Obviously, if you do know who Vince Pompali is, huge interview, huge inspiration, very excited to have him on the show. He's the inspiration for the movie Invincible, which starred Mark Wahlberg, Elizabeth Banks. Great movie. If you haven't seen it, again, I highly recommend you go see that movie. Even if you're not an Eagles fan, it does not matter. It is a great movie. And I'm glad you guys are already joining us. Obviously, very excited to hear from Vince Pompali. We got 5 seconds. So here we go, guys. 'Welcome, football fans. This is Straight Football Talk. I'm your host, Teddy the Bear Tate. Alongside of me is nobody tonight. Dallas Big D Duclo will not be with us this evening. However, that does not mean this segment is not huge. This is a very huge segment. We will be interviewing the great Vince Pompali. Huge inspiration to any football fan out there. And we've got to go ahead and give him a call. So, without further ado, you got his number right here. We're going to give this man a call. 1 second here, guys. There is the number. It's dialing. There we go. Hi, Vince. This is Teddy the Bear Tate from Straight Football Talk and Totally Driven Entertainment. How you doing, man?
Yo, buddy. What's up?
Not a whole lot, man. Just you. Interviewing you, man. And if you're ready to get started, Vince, I'm ready to start asking you some questions, sir.
All right. Who am I on with?
Just myself, Teddy the Bear Tate. Yeah, this is Austin is the one that was emailing you back and forth. Yep.
Okay, I didn't know if Austin was the interviewer, so he was my man. Is he there by any chance?
No, he is not. But he is actually we're Facebook Live as well as on the radio, so he is viewing Facebook Live.
That could be trouble. where are you guys located? Where are you at, Teddy?
We're out of Ohio.
No kidding. Did you get any storms? We're getting hit with another. They call it a four-easter now. We got another nor'easter.
We
got about 10 inches where we are now.
Yeah, we just got a bunch, about 3-4 inches over where we're at. So it's not nearly as bad as that, but you know, a little bit of snow there.
It's a little crazy, but hey, it's all good. So I'm ready to roll. Tell me when we're on, and I picked up. That sound pretty good. I'm on my landline here, right?
Yeah, it sounds great, and everybody can hear you. And like I said, if you're ready to go, we're ready to ask you some questions.
Let's roll, man.
All right, let's do it. All right, Vince, so let's start off back in the 60s when you went to Interboro High School. You earned a varsity letter in football, basketball, and track all in your senior year. Even though you lettered, you were always told that you were too small for high school football. Take us through what made you persevere through all that negativity and downness.
Well, at some point I was almost ready to give in.
Yeah.
To the doubters, and if it weren't for my mentor having been elevated or transferred from back then in the day, we had junior high schools, not middle schools, and that was grades 7 through 9.
Right.
And then the high school was 10 through 12, as opposed to now it's whatever the middle schools are, and then you have your 9 through 12 high school.
Right.
And so my junior high school coach and mentor, who was my, he coached me in basketball, and also, and I played 1 year of junior high school football, even though I wasn't 5 feet tall, not even 100 pounds at 14 years old.
Wow.
He became, when I was a senior, Teddy the Bear, he transferred up to the senior high school, and he got a hold of me, and he says, how come you're not playing football? At that point, Teddy, I was 5'6", about 150, 155 pounds.
Little guy.
And I said, well, you know, the coach was there before me, was a Marine sergeant, and we called him Sarge, you know, and this guy just said, you're too small to play football. You'll get killed out there. But I did play JV basketball, and I did play JV baseball. That was my junior year. But then my senior year, when Coach Corner, my mentor, came up, he said, come on, man. He says, you're playing, you know, I remember you got heart. And so I want you on the team. I don't care if you're a first-year senior. I just remember you from back then. You're talented. So when you know it, that turned out I was the top wide receiver on the team, and he changed the whole offense around to adapt to my skills. And we had a quarterback, Jim Haney, who converted from center. He was a great catcher, and he had tremendous arms. So the coach converted him from a center to a quarterback, and he wound up leading the county in touchdown receptions. And I was his battery mate, so to speak. And Jim went on to set all the passing records for Westchester University back in the day, and he was drafted by the Minnesota Vikings, right?
Right.
This is when he graduates from college. Me, I don't, you know. So the coach encouraged, so I went out for the basketball team. I did it. But here's the kicker right now, Teddy, it's springtime, and I'm ready to go to this little teacher's college in Philadelphia, at suburban Philadelphia, called Westchester State Teacher's College. And coach says, how come you're not going out for the track team? I didn't see your name on the sign-up list. You know, and it's had senioritis, and I thought I was a big shot, big football player, star, and all that crap, you know. And I was going to take my spring off, and he says, look, he's like, I know you can really help me out. He says, I really need you, and you can do whatever you want. You can call your events, you just do what you want. He says, I'll get you in shape for football for the next year, because they were going to give me a tryout. Now I had grown, Teddy. I was now 5'7".
Right.
About 160 pounds, you know. And the first thing he says, well, what do you want to do? And I says, well, I want a pole vault. And he says, have you ever pole vaulted before? And I said, oh, yeah, I pole vaulted across the creek. And where I grew up in the project, not a creek, I grew up in projects, so we had creeks then.
Creeks, yeah,
and I
absolutely.
Said, I pole vaulted from one bank to the other with a bamboo pole. And I used to pole vault over the clotheslines, and we didn't have dryers there. I mean, back in, we're talking the 60s, we didn't have dryers, you know, clothes dryers. I don't even think they're invented yet. And so I used to pull one over the clotheslines, and he says, well, I said, what's the school record? And he says, it's 11-2. I said, okay. So basically in sneakers and sweats, I said, just give me a pole, and I cleared it. And I cleared it by about a foot. And he said, you're going to be a pole vaulter. And when you know it, that I wound up pole vaulting and hurdling and doing a little sprinting. And I got a scholarship to college, St. Joe's College, as a pole vaulter. And they didn't have college football there, and that's why I didn't play college football.
Right.
So that's sort of the that's sort of the theme, you know, back there
right.
in my formative years, all the way from junior high school to high school.
Right, and I'm glad you brought up, you know, when you went to college, they didn't have a football team, and of course we're talking about Philadelphia St. Joseph University, and you did get a scholarship in track there. Were you still keeping up with football and doing football workouts and drills in your off time, or were you just focused on track at that point?
Yeah, I was playing. We had a club football team, a rough touch football team,
uh-huh.
and we would play all the other teams that had their clubs. And like Villanova had a football team, and Temple had a football team, Penn had one, but LaSalle didn't, and Drexel didn't. So they all had these football clubs, and I was the leading wide receiver for our St. Joe's Hawk football club, even though I had a track scholarship, and at that time my track coach didn't know that. So. After my sophomore year, and you know, I'm having a ball, you know what I mean? But I'm running track and everything is cool.
Right.
And then my junior year, we get a new coach, and the new coach had these rules, and one was you couldn't play any club sports, you couldn't play basketball, you couldn't do this, you couldn't do that. And I, you know, I said, well, I'm going to test this guy, and I still was on the club football team, and a guy came, and he was going to do a feature article on our team, you know, and I knew him, and I said to him, I said, look, whatever you do, don't put me in any article. I mean, you know, I can't be in anything. So wouldn't you know it, you know, the next day the guy puts, and the star wide receiver for the St. Joe's Hawks, you know, track star pole vaulter Vince Papale. Well, I got a call that night from the coach. He says, you're suspended. I'm going to take your scholarship away from you. And, man, he killed me. And it just beat me into the ground. And he taught me a lesson. And, of course, he couldn't take a scholarship from me, but I didn't know that. I was afraid to tell my dad.
Right.
And whatever he said to do, I did. And I wound up becoming his man and captain of the team and leading the team in the Middle Atlantic Conference track and field championships. So, you know, it was all good. And, you know, to this day, we still laugh at it, you know. And it's a great story when we're together and we're doing a banquet or something. It's really cool. But, yeah, I had that thing. But so then here's what happens now. So now I go back to my alma mater,
right,
in suburban Philly at Edinburgh High School, and I become a business teacher. And my high school track and football coach decides to retire from the track job, and so I was the guy that got that track job. So here I am. I'm 22 years old, and I'm a head track coach at my alma mater. And then this guy that I recruited as my throwing coach was really accomplished. He coached the pole vaulter, I mean the shot putters,
right,
the discus guys, and the javelin guys. And he had just transferred into Edinburgh. And he says, hey, man, I train these rough touch leagues. He says, you want to play? So I started playing in the rough touch leagues. Yeah. And then that eventually led to the next thing, and semi-pro football, the World Football League, and the tryout with Dick Vermeil in 1976.
Right. So, I, you know, you actually answered some questions that I had leading up to that. I think you know where I'm headed, you know, with this. And
well, I'm sorry about that.
No, you're fine. Absolutely not. No, you keep talking. I love it. And our viewers are loving it too. You know, so obviously the opportunity of a lifetime came and you were able to do a free agent workout with the Philadelphia Eagles. We have to know, how did you find out about the tryout? And was it like an open practice? Was it like a friend of a friend is going to let you know? You know, how were you able to score that tryout?
Well, here's how it actually worked. You know, if you go to Instagram, forget what they say in Instagram, that I had an interview with Coach Vermeil. Coach, I was on a list, and I played in the World Football League, and that was the league that Paul Zacha, Jim Warfield, and Larry Zacha, I mean, Paul Warfield, Jim Kick, and Larry Zacha defected from, and they went to the World Football League in the mid-70s, and they went from Miami over to there, you know.
Yeah.
And I was part of that league, and then I got a leave of absence from my teaching job, you know, and I tried out for the Philadelphia Bell, the franchise that was there, and ironically, the tryout is in the town that I live in right now in Cherry Hill, New Jersey, right on the other side of Philly. And there were about 600 or 800 guys there, and of those 600 or 800, two were left standing, and I was one of them. The other one was Dennis Lazzi from Notre Dame,
right?
And you know, the original Rudy, and anyway, I get a leave of absence from my high school, and they say, you know, get this football crap out of your system, and then you know, when you're done, come on back. Well, guess what? The league folded the next year. I call my school, and I say, I'm ready to come back. You know, I say, well, we don't have a teaching job ready for you. We've got one in the fall because somebody's going to retire. We'll put you right in, you know. But you're going to lose your track job and everything else. That's all right. I'll coach in the college ranks, and I'll finish up my master's degree, which I was working on at that time. I only needed two more courses in my thesis.
Right.
So, you know, it was all good. And to make some money, I was substitute teaching and bartending, and I was a doorman at a nightclub in Philly. And it turns out the guy that was my partner in the door was the white knuckle guy in the movie that threw me down as the other center, nobody likes me, you know, Denny Franks. And we just, by the way, released a book called The Last Slam. And Denny and I, you know, we get a chance to talk about it. But so the guy that was that was sort of like the ticket manager and the general manager for the team that folded, the Philadelphia Bell.
Right.
He knew Jimmy Murray, who was the general manager of the Eagles, and he said, I got this guy, I'm going to be his agent. I got this guy, Vince Papale, and, you know, you need to give him a tryout. I heard there's going to be a tryout. And then Jimmy Murray was a guy from Villanova, and he knew who I was, and he said, Vince Papale, he's a track guy. You know, he can play football. He said, trust me. He said, he just came off the star, so he can play. Yeah, okay, what the heck? It's an open tryout. I'll put him on the list, but just tell him to show up. And I showed up. And And believe it or not, I walked into the went to the locker room at Veterans Stadium, and I looked at the lockers of all these guys that were my idols, you know, because Teddy, I was a season ticket holder for 10 years,
right?
And these guys are like my freaking idols, you know?
Yeah.
And I sort of got real confused. I got lost in the locker room. I couldn't find my way out of this stadium. I got lost in the stadium because the locker room was subterranean. And I couldn't find the elevator that we had gone down in because I was so excited about being in a place. And to me, it was like hallowed ground. It was sacred territory.
Right.
And then, by the time I finally got out of there, everybody was over at the other stadium, JFK Stadium, where they used to have the Army-Navy game and big concerts. It was a 100,000-seat stadium.
Wow.
And when I went screeching in there, Coach Ramil saw me, and he says, "Hey, what's the problem, 83? You're late." And Coach was always big on being on time. And I said, "Sorry, Coach, I had equipment problems, you know, and equipment." He said, just warm up. But he knew who I was. And then I popped the 40, and, you know, he said, "Whoa, you know, this guy's got some speed." And, you know, I'd been a track guy, and I was a hurdler. I had pretty good running form.
Right.
And so he says, "Well, you know, just throw a few at him, just like in the movie." And, yeah. and what you see in a movie, Invincible, is basically the way it transpired. But at the end, we didn't have that conversation that it showed in the movie in the parking lot. We actually had the conversation in the elevator. When after the workout was over, I wasn't told anything, and I just figured, okay, I'm going down to the locker room. And he just said, "Hey, that was a great workout, Vince." He said, "You know, you ran a 4.5. And he did ask me where I played my college ball. And I lied. I told him I played at Villanova because he was a West Coast guy. I figured he wouldn't know. He said, "Well, cool." He said, "It was a great workout. It was very nice to meet you." And that was it. And then 15 minutes later, the athletic trainer comes and he says, "Hey, they want you up in the executive offices."
Wow.
And I signed my first contract in the NFL, and it was for $21,000. I signed for $21,000. I had 3 months to get ready, not 3 days like the movie presented it.
Right.
And I busted my ass, man. I tell you, I got a kung fu guy, and then I went to Franklin Field and worked out with a bunch of guys that played in the NFL, and they gave me a bunch of pointers. And by the time I finally got to training camp, and right before the 4th of July in 76, man, I was in the greatest shape you could possibly imagine. And then sort of sandwiched in between, Teddy, I was a decathlete, and I was trying to qualify for the Olympic trials. And I fell a little short of getting into the trials, but you know, I was in pretty good shape. So at 30, I was in the best shape of my life. So, you know, the physical side wasn't the most intense part. It was just learning how to be a professional football player and putting up with all the crap that some of the guys were throwing at me in training camp.
Yeah, and Vince, you've mentioned some things that have been different in the movie. You know, obviously the Invincible movie is not going to be, you know, shot for shot your life story, but it's pretty close. And is there anything in the movie though that you would change that you didn't like it and you would have rather it been, you know, that your part of the story?
Well, you know, that's always the most often asked question, right? About how to choose a movie, and I would say it's not a documentary, and they're gonna
right.
take some liberty even to make that movie about you, you know.
Right.
And one of the things that they made the big change is my wife Janet Cantwell Papelli, and right now, I'm looking at her USA jersey from when she was on USA World Gymnastics team back in the Olympic years in Munich. And Janet was a world class gymnast and coached around the world and mentored around the world. And they made her a Giants fan and a bartender. And her uncle does have a bar, so they did that. And you're laughing, and that's basically why they did it. They wanted to create the humor, the conflict, and the drama that went with it. Janet, you know, I mean, my beautiful wife of 24, soon to be 25 years, we just laughed at it and said, she said, it's your story. It's not mine. It's all about you. And I wish we could have an Invincible too to tell that, you know, with
right.
Janet. But what they did capture, Teddy, is they captured the journey.
Right.
And they captured the spirit of it. And I have to tell you, the greatest thing is to see some of the fan. I just did a whole bunch of fan mail yesterday that I still get. I get about 10 or 15 a week now. It used to be 10 or 15 a day. But the movie is still going strong. It's 11 years now. Mark is phenomenal. But when you get a little kid that's writing a letter to you in pencil and telling you that he saw the movie and I'm his hero, Are you kidding me?
That's awesome.
Eddie, are you kidding me? And that's so cool.
Yes.
And to have adults come to me, and I just got a thing from David Rutherford, who's a Navy SEAL. He's asking me to be on his show. You know, to have somebody, and I'm going to be on there with Marcus Luttrell.
Wow.
Who my guy, Mark Wahlberg, played. You know, in The Lone Survivor.
Right.
These kinds of things that are happening, because the thing is, the journey relates to so many people. And when I go out and I do the speaking tour, which I still do a lot of, you know, right in the beginning, I said, it's not my story, it's our story. You know, it's when somebody told you that it was impossible, that it was improbable, that it was absolutely not able to be done, and yet you go ahead, you did it, you proved them wrong. And that's the beauty of Invincible. And they captured that spirit, that journey, that I think anybody in any generation can latch on to, male, female, whatever, you know, and they have a piece of it. And that's the thing I'm most proud of. So
absolutely.
They did a great job. And Wahlberg, Mark, God bless Mark, he was phenomenal. And Elizabeth Banks. If you see pictures of my wife, Janet, and Elizabeth Banks, they look like twin sisters. And great Kinnear. My God, he just nailed Vermeil. Goes for meal, and it was just phenomenal. So a good thing. They did a great job, and I'm really happy with it. One thing in the beginning, he said, what would I like to change?
Yeah.
I wish they had gone back a little bit before and given me or given Interboro the credit that was due, and also
right.
had the opportunity of that coach that meant so much in my life, George Corner, my mentor.
Absolutely.
And I wish there somehow, some way we could have worked him. Other than that, you know, all good. My dad was cool. My mom was really sick at the time. They didn't make much mention of that, but it wasn't necessary to do that. You know, it was
sure.
all about that point from then on, and I understood it. I'm just so grateful and proud to be a part of Disney. You know, I mean, can you believe that? I mean,
right.
That's pretty insane when you think about it.
Yeah, I mean, and like you said, Vince, I mean, it's got to be so surreal to feel like having little kids send you fan letters and you're their hero, and, you know, to them, you're almost a superhero. You know, it's... that's got to be one of the best feelings ever.
Oh my God, it's so cool. When you see a father say to his son or a daughter,
yeah.
"Hey, this is probably from the Eagles," and they say, "What?" And he's, "Remember that movie we just saw the other day, Invincible?" And they'll look and they'll say, "He's the guy," and they smile. What did he say? But he doesn't look like Mark Wahlberg. But yeah, it's all good.
Yeah, and obviously you're staying pretty close with Mark. Now I got to ask you, this is a little bit of a fun question for me. Is there any possible chance of you pursuing a career with Mark Wahlberg? I mean, I know Mark isn't a musician anymore, but you know, you guys could be a pretty good rap group, I think.
I tell you what, I wouldn't mind going on stage one time with him.
I think so.
We've done it. We've had a couple of three screenings of the movie where we've been together and have done that. He's so gracious that, I doubt that we'll ever have that opportunity, but
right.
we're going to give it a shot, you know, with our book that I just wrote. It's called Last Laugh, Vision to Victory. You can find it on Amazon or BarnesandNoble.com.
Okay.
And, you know, and Mark wrote the foreword, and we're going to try to, and we have a lot of Hall of Famers that are very recognizable, one being Jim Harbaugh, and Coach Dick Vermeil, and Mario Hemingway in it. And we have Olympians and just people from all walks of life that are all famous that tell their stories about how they got from their vision to the victory and whatever it is. And
that's
Mark's
awesome.
One of those guys. And we're going to try to pull together some super duper event somewhere in a big arena and have all these people come in and tell their stories. And maybe I'll get the chance to do that with Mark. But hey, man, you know, life is pretty good right now. You know, my daughter Gabby works with the 76ers. And
that's awesome.
She's a Syracuse grad. We're real excited about them hitting Sweet 16. She cheered there, and now we're pretty excited about that. And
sure.
My son Vinny's playing college ball at the University of Delaware. He's their go-to guy. He plays all wide receiver positions for him, and he's real psyched about having a big year. And you know, and Janet and I, we're embarking on a dual speaking thing because she's got quite a story, being the oldest of nine, being told that she'd be the ugly duckling, and she winds up on USA World Gymnastics team. So
sure.
That's pretty cool. You know, life is great right now.
Right, absolutely. Vince, let me throw something out here for you real quick. The the studio has given me only a half hour to interview you, and I still have more questions for you. So if I hang up with you on the studio and I call you back on my cell phone for our Facebook viewers so they can ask you a couple of questions and I can ask you a couple more questions, would you be willing to do that?
Yeah, I got about 10 more minutes. I can go until about 7:40.
All right.
And then I got to shut it down, if that's cool.
No, not a problem. Let me go ahead and hang up with you on the studio, and then I'm going to call you right back then.
All right, sounds good.
Sounds good.
Thank you for using Blog Talk Radio.
Guys, because I love you guys, and I know you want to hear more from Vince Papale, I am making sure I stay in touch with him, and I'm going to make sure this interview goes a little longer because a half hour is not enough for an interview with Vince Papale. There we go. Let's get him back on the line here.
Hi.
There we go, Vince. Hey, sorry about that, man. Like I said, a half hour is not long enough to interview you, especially with all the stuff we've got to go over. I mean, there's just so many questions we can ask you. And again, there's.
Hey man, it happens. It's all good. And you know, I have a tendency to have diarrhea in the mouth. So.
No. Absolutely not. I don't ever apologize about talking when I ask you a question. This is awesome. I'm enjoying it. So obviously, a couple months ago, the Eagles did something that they have never done before. After 52 years, they won a Super Bowl. What did that mean to you? And speaking on your on the City of Brotherly Love's behalf, what did it mean for the hardworking class of Philadelphia?
Well, you know, really what it was, and the beauty of it is that it was a tribute to the fans of Philadelphia. You know, Coach Doug Peterson just did a tremendous job and what he did and how he brought this team together, and he understood what was going on there in Philadelphia. You know, he's the greatest underdog story ever. Right. You know, just from him, when he got the job and everybody was doubting him and saying, you know, he's not the guy for the job, blah, 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 da, da, da. And the crap that he had to deal with. And he says he has thick skin, and he did do it. And he just put the team together in the locker room and did all the things you had to do. But he was surrounded by some really good people. And it was really cool to see this whole thing transpire and develop. And Doug has a philosophy. And, you know, he was a former player here. He's an alum. You know, I've known Doug since 99 when he came in as a player, you know, and he was an alumnus. And, you know, and he has a philosophy, and it's the next man up philosophy. And it's also, you know, that it all revolves around hustle. And, you know, you hustle and we're going to get things done. And, you know, the whole thing was next man up. When a guy went down, somebody else came in and filled the slot. You didn't make excuses. And Carson goes down and, you know, Nick comes in and, my God, he didn't skip a beat and everybody's banging him because he had threw an interception in a nothing game against the Dallas Cowboys when our third stringers were in and they had their first team in there.
Right.
You know, just because they could say they beat the Eagles. And as you can tell, I don't like the Cowboys. But, you know, it was a great lesson for a lot of people to look at, and it was a tribute to the city of Philadelphia. If you hear some of these stories, it's from people, you know, and how this families and going back families and how people cried and you know, and then they just ran out onto the streets like they just won World War III for crying out loud. And, you know, and not just in the city of Philadelphia, in the suburban neighborhoods. And then, you know, the stories of people coming in from all over the country, all over the world, just to be part of the parade. And it was very, very special. And, you know, Doug made us alums feel like we were part of it. The team made us feel like we were part of it. And more than anything, I had an opportunity to present an award, and Doug was given the award, the Coach of the Year award where I was at. And the beauty of it is, you know, people coming up and thanking me because they say I was a part of that. I really had nothing to do with it, but they feel that way, you know, and the Eagles made us feel that way. We're not going to get a ring, but I don't need a ring. I got a movie, but right. You know, it's all good.
Uh, Now, you brought up Nick Foles, and that's a good point to bring up, too. There's speculation that Nick Foles will be traded. What are your thoughts on that, and would you trade Nick Foles now that his value is higher than it's ever been?
Well, you know, there's all kinds of rumors that are going around, and I certainly hadn't had an opportunity to talk to anybody about it. So
right.
I guess I don't know any more than anyone else. But I would love to see Nick Foles stick around.
Sure.
From a selfish point of view, and right at this particular time, there's of course there's rumors about the trade, but the thing is nobody stepped up with what the Eagles want for that trade, what they think his trade value is.
Right.
So at this particular time, he's gonna be here, and you know, and he's making 5.5, you know, and they're comparing
right.
all these other quarterbacks. But Nick is just so. He's just so down to earth, and he's such a Christian that I don't think he really cares about all that. He cares about all that fame. I think all he really wants to do is to contribute, feel he's a part of something, and he loves Doug Peterson, and the city of Philadelphia loves him. And
right.
there's no guarantee that Carson Wentz is going to be able to come back from his injury. My son Vinny had that same injury last year.
Oh, wow.
And he came back in 1 year and came back strong. But there's no guarantees that Nick's going to be coming out. But we just saw an Instagram of him even already throwing. And he's,
right.
Nobody's going to work harder than Nick Foles, than my son. You know,
right.
He worked his ass off to get back on the field that soon. And I know Nick's going to do the same thing. So, you know, who knows? But there's no guarantees in life. And, hey, what a great insurance policy I've got like Nick Foles from. From a selfish point of view, Nick, please stay with Philadelphia Eagles. You know, we'll see. But, you know, God bless him if he doesn't. And he earned and deserved everything he got because, man, oh, man, you talk about next man up.
Yeah.
Coming through, Nick Foles, baby.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, absolutely.
MVP.
Yes.
Isn't that the greatest story? When's that movie coming out? I want to be your executive producer. So.
No kidding.
Yeah, really.
Now, Vince, transitioning to the draft a little bit, I don't know if you've been paying attention to the prospects coming in, but what position do you think the Eagles need to address the most coming into this year's draft?
I would say right now, maybe really get that speed burner, that wide receiver, mm-hmm. or maybe another running back. They've really shored up the defense, and I think we're pretty solid defensively.
Sure.
All the way across the line, linebackers, and also especially the secondary. Just made a couple moves. Of course, we brought Brennan in from Seattle.
Yeah.
So that's pretty exciting. I was really sorry to see LeGarrette Blanco.
Yeah.
He was a solid guy in the locker room, a real hustler. He did a lot of good things for us. But, you know, you just got to, I guess, like they say with the Sixers, you got to trust the process.
Yeah.
And we lost Torrey Smith. Alshon Jeffrey has gotten, he's got an extension in his contract. And man, oh, man, did he ever deliver.
Yes.
As did Nelson Aguilar, number 13. If you were to name, to me, the second most valuable player for the Eagles was Nelson Aguilar because of all the great catches he made on third down and possession catches, you know. So,
yeah.
But, you know, we need that guy to replace a wily veteran like Torrey Smith. And, you know, we got the kid from North Carolina, and that's Mac Hollins.
Right.
And, you know, will he develop? We don't know. So, I wouldn't be surprised if they do that. And, you know, we got to bring a punter in because Donnie Jones just
yes.
retired, and he was one of the best punters in the NFL. So, you know, who knows what to do. But, hey, listen, I trust what they're going to do, and I believe in Doug. I believe in the organization. And you know, he's lost some coaches. But, again, it's that next man up philosophy. You just got to take care of it. It's all about you being accountable and doing what's asked of you, and so far so good. So. I'm real excited about next year already.
Absolutely. And I mean, like you said, that, you know, yes, that you guys have lost a couple of key guys, like LeGarrette Blount, for instance, but you guys have also been able to get some key guys. I mean, one of the positions I thought that needed a little more help was cornerback. You know, Ronald Darby and Jalen Mills were all right, but, you know, then you guys went out and got Worley from the Panthers and traded Torrey Smith. You know, that to me, that was another
right.
solid move. And then you traded for Michael Bennett, obviously a stud at his position.
Yeah, Worley is a sleeper pick, you know.
Yeah.
Because, first of all, he's a big Eagles fan, and he was being interviewed yesterday. He went to Penn Charter, which is a pretty cool school. He went to the same school that, Matt Ryan went to.
Right.
And they also had the home of the Little Quakers that Matt Ryan played for, my son Vinny played for.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's a bright, articulate kid. He's only 23, and he's got 2 years' experience in the NFL. He's big. He's a great tackler, and he's a big Eagles fan. He's going to fit right in, and I can see the Eagles fans falling in love with this kid. He just really handles himself well. If you listen to his interviews, or go to YouTube and check out his interviews. Extremely articulate, real confident, and I just love it. You know, so we have a great mix there in that secondary.
Good.
That used to be our weakness, and now it's one of our strengths.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, Vince, you also said, you know, there needs to be an Invincible 2 or something. Now, does that mean does that mean you're going to be doing a comeback to help win that ring for the Eagles, another ring for the Eagles?
I don't know about that, man. I just think that we could do something, and it comes back, and they would disclose that, Janet wasn't a Giants fan, and she was the U.S. agent. But we've already put the treatment out. You know, I've been laughed at enough, so I know when it's time to fold the tent on that one. But
right. It's
been a lot of fun. So we've written a book called "Be Invincible: Playbook for Reaching Your Full Potential." We're going to refresh it, so that'll be out. But you know, right now we're just enjoying life. Our kids are grown up, and they're very successful right now. Janet's an extremely successful entrepreneurial person, and also a realtor for 30 some years. And you know, we're just having a ball, and I'm real excited because Vinny's heading down to Boca to participate in the camp, and he's going to work with Anquan Boldin
and
Pierre Garçon on some receiving skills. And, you know, his college has suggested he goes down there, and we're real excited. So I'm going to be heading down to Florida next week.
Awesome.
And I'm going to be excited just to meet Anquan Boldin because he's one of my favorite all-time receivers ever. Nobody has stronger hands than he does. I can't wait to meet him in the dump that he's working with my son, Vinny.
Yeah.
It's just so exciting. I'm real excited about it.
I'll tell you what, it just seems like Anquan Boldin was always one of the toughest wide receivers you saw out in the field. I mean, he had so much
grit.
Nobody
took a ball from him. He doesn't catch balls. He snatches
them
out of the air. And Vinny's been, they say Vinny's the same way, one of the coaches. He says you just take that ball right out of the air. So it'll be fun to watch and see if he picks something up. But, hey, you know, it's all about the dream, man. You know, right now my kids have dreams, and I'm doing everything I can as a dad, and my wife Janet is, to help those dreams come true and be there for them. You know,
absolutely.
And that's what it's about. And, you know, you got to be, your kids know you got to be willing to pay the price. And like Doug Peterson says, you got to hustle.
Right.
You know, the price you pay to hustle. Dreams come free, and if you're not willing to hustle and pay the price, and you're just posing and you're fooling yourself. So, you know, just get into the game, get off the sideline.
Absolutely.
Real easy formula there, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And real quick, Vince, just a few more questions. And one of them being earlier this offseason, I guess actually last offseason, there was a guy standing out in front of the Philadelphia Eagles facility with a sign, Rashawn Sly. Have you kept in contact with him?
No, I haven't really. You know, I actually went one time because I was taking some people for a tour of the facility, the Eagles facility. And I came out, and the guy was there, and I stopped and talked to him, and I encouraged him. And, you know, but nobody, he didn't get the tryout, but he did get a tryout with the Philadelphia Soul.
Right.
And the reason why he didn't get a tryout, because, they gave him that one, they would have to give everybody one, and they just didn't want to open up the Pandora's box. It wasn't because the Eagles organization or Doug was insensitive. They just couldn't do that.
Yeah.
And so, but I went out, and then, My buddy is one of the co-owners of the Philadelphia Soul, the Arena Football League team that Ron Jaworski has a piece of, and he's the president and GM of them. And so they went out, and they offered him a tryout and a contract, and he went and he tried out, and he just fell a little bit short of their expectations. But you know, I give the kid a lot of credit, and you know, I got a lot of mileage out of it. Hey, it was great for me.
Yeah,
I got mileage out of it. You know, I mean, all that stuff that was going on with Minnesota and Mark Thielen, you know, the wide receiver for the Vikings and his story.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, it's national that they're comparing him to me. And then, you know, is Mark Wahlberg going to cheer for the Eagles? And is he going to cheer for the Patriots? And then for 2 weeks prior to that, you know, there's all that Mark Wahlberg, Vince McCauley stuff. You know, it's like, you kidding me? You can't pay for that kind of PR.
No.
So it's all good, you know. But I gave him some advice and told him what I thought he should do. And I don't know if he carried it out, but, you know, God bless him for giving that shot.
Yeah, absolutely.
What he did.
And again, Vince, just a couple more questions real quick. We've had several NFL hopefuls come on the show, including Rashawn. that are trying to pursue their dreams and become an NFL athlete. What advice do you have for those guys trying to fulfill that NFL dream?
Well, needless to say, what you got to do is, the way I look at it, you got to win the day. You know, you got to every day do something out on the practice field that's going to capture the attention of the coaches. And every day you got to show them that there's a, that you got to give them a reason to keep you, and that they can't get rid of you. You know, you really just have to hustle and give that, you know, and just don't ever give up on yourself. You're going to make mistakes. Don't get down. Have a short memory and have a thick skin and just go on and give whatever you have. But whatever you do, just don't quit,
right.
You know, and surround yourself with good people. But, you know, more than anything, just be in the best shape you've ever been in your life. And that's just not physical, but mental conditioning as well. And be prepared, because a lot of things are going to happen.
Right.
When you give it a shot, it's like nothing you could possibly imagine. People could tell you stuff about it. But, you know, unless you get there and you experience it, you won't even believe it.
Right. Vince, last two questions, easiest questions you're going to answer all night. First off, we ask this of every NFL athlete, ex-NFL athlete, but would you be willing to send us a jersey? The reason why we ask this question is because the plan is to get a jersey and frame them, all the ones that we collect behind us, and really give back to you guys. You know, hey, these guys are cool enough to come on the show, talk with us, and, you know, we get to hear their story. Would you be willing to do that?
I think we can work that out. You tell Austin to get on there. Hey, Austin, what's up, buddy? I want to just do a shout-out to him.
Absolutely.
He's done a great job working with me. So, Austin, I just tell Austin to give me the info. We'll make sure you get that. We'll do one better for you. We're going to get you that movie as well. So we'll get you a signed copy.
Awesome. You are the man, Vince. And Vince, last question, easiest question you're going to answer all night. We enjoyed having you on. Vince, do you want to come back on the show?
Hell yes, boy. How's that?
Sounds great.
Absolutely. This was great. I had so much fun.
Thank you so much. We had a lot of fun with you, Vince. And again, I know we're keeping you about a minute over what you wanted, but we had a great time talking with you. I loved asking the questions, loved your answers. I mean, you're a fun guy to be with. Definitely want to have you come back on. And, you know, I'll tell you what, if we're in the Philadelphia area, we might just swing by your house and hang out with you for the day.
Yeah, you might. You know, there's a couple of fun little sports bars right around the corner. You might like them. So
awesome.
I'll show you around Philly the way you should be shown around Philly.
That's what I like to hear.
Philly's a great, great town. And don't let anybody tell you otherwise. We're very passionate fans. And just because there's a couple or three idiots that do stupid things, don't judge the fan base by them.
Right.
But it's all about passion. So anytime, you be my guest.
Absolutely. All right. Thanks, Vince. Thank you for coming on. We really appreciate it. And we will talk to you
all
soon.
Right. Awesome. See you guys.
Take care. Guys, that was a fun interview. Awesome. Vince Papale is genuine. He's hilarious. And he's awesome. I mean, he's also invincible, in case you didn't know that. But awesome interview. I enjoyed every minute of that. I just wish Dallas could have been here to see it and asked a couple questions with me. That's okay. Awesome, Austin. I hope you enjoyed that, man. I know that has to be a huge thing for you. And obviously, I don't know when, but we're going to be going to Philly and hang out with Vince Papale sometime soon. I'm sure of it. So anyways, guys, thanks for tuning in and asking a couple questions, giving me some ideas to ask Vince. Really appreciate it. We will see you Sunday, 9 a.m., unless, of course, we have another surprise interview. You never know. You got to follow our page. Stay tuned with us. Anyways, take care, guys. See you at 9 a.m. Sunday morning.